This is an Aero News Touch and Go for November 2, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. No matter how you feel about the first nuclear weapon dropped on Japan to end World War II, it was undeniably a watershed event in the history of warfare and of mankind. U.S. Air Force Brigadier General retired Paul Warfield Tibbetts Jr. led the mission that dropped that bomb called Little Boy on Hiroshima on August 6, 1945. As a result, he spent the last 67 years as a focus of nuclear protesters. On Thursday, Tibbetts died at his home in Columbus, Ohio, at the age of 92. The Columbus Dispatch reports he had suffered several small strokes and heart failure in recent years. Tibbetts spent most of his life defying protesters who sought him out. Defiant to the end, he's reportedly asked to be cremated, his ashes scattered over the English Channel, and that there be no headstone anywhere to serve as a gathering point for protesters. Back when the Snohomish County, Washington Economic Development Council scheduled Mike Baer to address its members, he was head of Boeing's 787 Dreamliner development program. Despite the recent announcement by Boeing that the plane will be 6 months late and Baer's subsequent reassignment to business strategy and marketing 2 weeks ago, the Seattle Times reported he still showed up for the speaking engagement. And what he had to say probably has county economic development officials giddy. Baer suggested that Boeing may reconsider its global supply strategy, often blamed for Dreamliner delays. In the past, Boeing has engineered its own products, but outsourced some construction. For the Dreamliner, some of the design work was outsourced too, and it hasn't always worked out. Quote, "Some of these guys we won't use again. Some of them proved incapable of doing it," unquote. Baer predicted that for the company's next big project, thought to be a replacement for the popular but aging 737, Boeing may actually bring much of the process closer to home. Quote, "The right way to do this would be to have all those big parts across the street, so you could just roll them in. We'll see on the next airplane programs whether we can accomplish something like that," unquote. The Federal Aviation Administration proclaimed this week it exceeded its own goal for reducing the most serious runway incursions by 25% in fiscal year 2007. There were 24 serious incursions in more than 61 million operations, or one incursion for every 2.5 million operations. The goal was no more than one for every 2 million surface movements. The agency credits better training, clearer signs, and new procedures, but says much is left to do. As ANN reported, last month the FAA adopted the definition for a runway incursion used by the International Civil Aviation Organization, in which any unauthorized runway encroachment, regardless of possible conflict with another aircraft, is an incursion, and that may require a few asterisks in the press release next year. The state of Georgia already boasts a thriving aviation manufacturing industry, but it grew a little more on Thursday. 3 months after acquiring the type certificate for the plane once known as the Grumman Tiger, True Flight Holdings LLC announced that it will build a $3.5 million manufacturing facility at the Valdosta Regional Airport. VP and COO Lloyd Montague says a key to the company's plan to control costs will be keeping more of its manufacturing in-house. This has been an Aero News Touch and Go. Don't forget to check out our complete Aero briefing. There we'll tell you about these stories. NASA adjusts Discovery schedule again. Southwest and its pilots negotiate quietly. And U.S. Airways offers veteran flight attendants a buyout. Also, check out our ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Fred DeLue, president of Big Sky Airlines. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, iPodder, Podcast Alley, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.